The scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way, and we are so thankful that you are here with us. And if you have any questions, certainly let those be known. And we certainly just seek to do everything by God's Word, certainly as best we can. I'm very thankful for everything that the congregation has done for my family and continues to do for my family. Thankful for the Hills as they kind of wrangle my kids as we transition through these couple weeks. But certainly thankful for the meals and the love and the prayers. Just very, very thankful and grateful for the love that we have in Christ Jesus. Today we start a new teacher quarter, and we're so thankful for those teachers that we had that served our last quarter. We're thankful for Carl. I look over the classrooms and try to, Carl, Jill, Terry, Corey and Adriana. We're so thankful for the teachers of the past quarter, and we're so thankful for the teachers that we have teaching in this quarter that we're going into. We're thankful and grateful for all those that participate and help with that. Certainly, as a church family, I think we do have that obligation to teach our young, be good examples to them, and I'm so grateful that my kids have so many other parents in the congregation spiritually, have so many other grandparents, spiritually, and grandparents, great-grandparents, that all kind of watch over and influence my kids in a positive way. I'm so thankful, grateful, and really eternally grateful for that, the example that you all set for my young ones. Today, I'd like to talk about the Holy Spirit. And actually, it ties in well with our adult class this morning. But whenever people start talking about the Holy Spirit, it seems that it goes so many places other than where the Bible would really take it. Certainly, you might have a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit. I certainly do. I have a lot of questions about the nature of God and all the qualities of God. And really, at the end of the day, all I can do to understand that better is to turn to the pages of the Bible. Unfortunately, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, many people will go away from the Bible to try to figure out about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's involvement is in our lives. Now, certainly, I will not be able to answer all questions about the Holy Spirit today, but certainly, I think there's some foundational things that if we could lay forth and understand that that's what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, we would be in a better spot. We'd be in a better spot when it comes to unity. We'd be in a better spot when it comes to our service with God. Certainly, we have many questions about the Holy Spirit, but if we let the Bible speak for itself, it will tell us about the Holy Spirit, the qualities of the Holy Spirit, and the role of the Holy Spirit. You know, a large portion of what I believe is very important for us as New Testament Christians today can really be found in John chapter 14 through 16. And we are going to explore that and look at that this morning, but we really see Jesus says, I'm going to leave. And you know what? If you think about that and you put yourself in that situation for a moment, that would be a very intimidating situation. The Son of God, who you have been around, we're talking about the apostles and the disciples, they've got to walk with Jesus. They've got to talk with Jesus. They've got to hear Jesus speak, the sermons which he has brought, the Sermon on the Mount and other things. They have got to be around the Son of God. And the Son of God, in John chapter 13, says, I'm going to leave. In chapter 13, he washes their feet. In John chapter 13, he also says, one of you is going to betray me. And basically, he says, I am going to leave. And in chapters 14 through 16, he starts to talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is going to have a very prominent role in their lives moving forward, particularly in the context of the lives of the apostles as they transition from this period of not having the Son of God physically with them. He is going to be away. He is going to go to be with God in heaven. And certainly God is still going to, Jesus is still going to be with them. But he says, I'm going to send you a helper. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, what he does with those apostles, certainly we have a great piece of work that the Holy Spirit has left us, that if applied to our lives correctly, will keep us on that straight and narrow path that will lead us to heaven. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Certainly there are many things that could be given to the Holy Spirit, many things that we could consider this morning. The first thing I'd like to consider is that you understand that the Holy Spirit was at creation. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." You know, in the first couple verses there, the word for God there is Elohim. And it carries with it the idea of plurality. And I cannot speak and tell you that I have 100% understanding of the Godhead, which is actually used three times in Scripture. And actually, when it's translated Godhead three times in Scripture, it could also be translated divine nature. I really wish that I could understand the divine nature of God better, but here's what I do know, is that God gives us all things sufficient for us to have the understanding that we need to get to heaven. I do believe that God, as we go and we read the Holy Scriptures, we get the idea of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This idea of three and one. And certainly, over the course of time, there are many people that have put labels on that idea, and we cannot necessarily find those labels in the Bible, but I do believe that that idea is there. We can find that Jesus claimed to be God. We can certainly find God the Father claiming to be God, and we can see that throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit is put on the same level. Do I understand all things about that? I do not. But certainly, the Holy Spirit, I believe, was there from the beginning. Just as Jesus has been there since the beginning, and just as God has been there from the beginning, and all three in one as God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 is one of the places where Godhead is mentioned. Once again, it can be translated divine nature. It says, "Since the creation of the world, your invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even your eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That word Godhead can be translated divine nature. I wish I could understand the divine nature a little bit better, but as we read through Scripture, certainly we find this idea of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all working together, all with different roles, but certainly all God. But the Holy Spirit has been here since the beginning. I'm not saying that this is right, but I associate God the Father with God's power. I associate God the Son with God's love. And I associate God, the Holy Spirit, with God's communication and God's mind. The Holy Spirit has been there since the beginning. And there are different roles, I believe, of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all God, and all are important. Just because we have different roles does not mean we're important, and it doesn't mean that we're not essential. You know, I think about the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the church, and it compares it to the idea of the human body. And it's like, what would the human body do without the eye? What would the human body do without the hand? All are important. All are needed. All are essential. And the same thing comes to the Godhead and the idea that we have there. All are essential. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Notice the pronoun. There is this idea that is carried throughout the Old Testament Scriptures into the New Testament Scriptures, is this idea of a plurality. And it's a plurality in one God, but has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has been there from the very beginning. And we see it sprinkled throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. In Job chapter 33 and verse 4, the Bible says this. It says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." We see the Spirit of God. In Job chapter 26 and verse 13, it says, "By His Spirit He adorned the heavens." I believe the Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus. I believe God has been there since the beginning, being God. And what a beautiful thing that is. See, a lot of times I think that people that were living in the Old Testament, they couldn't necessarily see all the references to Jesus Christ that are really throughout the Old Testament. We have such a blessing with an eagle-eyed view that we can look back through the Holy Scriptures and we can see these instances in time where we can spot Jesus Christ. He's been there since the beginning. As we look from an eagle-eyed view and we look through the Old Testament and New Testament, we can see the Holy Spirit from beginning to end. We can see God the Father from beginning to end. We can see God all throughout the book. The Holy Spirit was there since the beginning. And as we think about creation and how beautiful and wonderful it is, and truly every house has to have a builder. Everything created has to have a builder. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. We can look at creation. But we can look at creation as long as we want. It's beautiful and wonderful, and I can even lead us to the idea that there is a God. But that does not help us with understanding the will of God, the mind of God, the character of God. I can look at a tree, and I can look at creation, but I can look at that tree as long as I want. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to get the will of God, the mind of God, the character of God. That's why the Holy Spirit is such a blessing. Because the Holy Spirit really gives us a great blessing that through the Holy Spirit and His power, His nature, and through what He accomplished through men, we have the Holy Scriptures. And through the Holy Scriptures, we can find the character of God, the mind of God, and the will of God. What a blessing that is. Certainly, when I look at the Holy Spirit, I can't answer you all things, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit was all throughout Old to New Testament. The Holy Spirit is there and can be seen and observed through the pages of the Bible. Number two, when I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of revelation. It's one thing to look out in creation and come to the conclusion that there is a God. It's another thing to understand the will of God, the mind of God, and the character of God. Without revelation, we are in the dark. And we can see, as our reading was read by Brother Bob, we see that the Holy Spirit was involved in inspiring the Scriptures, inspiring the Word of God, in which we can get a picture of the character, mind, and will of God. What a blessing that is. You can look at creation for a long time, and you might even get certain feelings and emotions as you look at creation, but it will not lead you to, in terms of being able to know directly the will of God for you and your life. You know, many people in this life are led astray by feelings. In Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and deceptively wicked. Who can know it?" In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." If you go with your feelings throughout this life, it will drag you all kinds of places. It has dragged our world all kinds of places. The Holy Spirit has given us revelation to direct our steps. You don't have to be in the dark. You can know the straight and narrow path which God wants you to walk. I think in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where it talks about the narrow way and the broad path, and it says that narrow way is difficult and few find it. You know why? Because few will listen to the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Few will read the words which the Holy Spirit has granted us and put them to their mind and put them to their test. They would rather go by their feelings. And if you go by your feelings, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." A lot of people follow their feelings. They'll even call their feelings the Holy Spirit. But you know what? The Holy Spirit has told us, has inspired the New Testament writers to write these words that we can know the will of God, the mind of God, and the character of God. What a blessing we have before us. You know, you think about God's power, you think about God's love. You know, I think about the communication of all of that. Without the Holy Spirit, we are in the dark. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not have the New Testament. We do not have the Old Testament. We do not have this. You think about the Pentateuch. You think about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses wrote those. Well, was Moses at creation? No, he was not. With Moses, did he get to see all of those things that transpired in the 50 chapters of Genesis? Moses didn't get to see any of that. How did he know? Because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We would be in the dark on every level without the Holy Spirit giving us revelation in which we can see the character of God and the mind of God. Let's go back to John chapter 13 and let's look at that passage. It's really John chapter 13 all the way through 16. Jesus is with his disciples, with his apostles. He's working with them. He's living with them day in and day out. They get to be with Jesus, the Son of God. And in chapter 13, Jesus starts to get into this idea that he's leaving. Now you think about that. We have been walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus. Now he's leaving. God, I can't remember everything you said. I can't remember all the sermons that you preached. I can't remember all the lessons when we were around the table and we were eating together. I can't remember all those lessons. Jesus, please don't leave us. We're going to be in jeopardy. We're going to be in the dark if you leave us. Look at John chapter 13 and verse 36. Jesus building up and he's saying, I'm about to leave. I'm going to leave. John chapter 13, verse 36, look what Simon Peter says. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. You know, we don't get the tone of the way that questions are asked. But I wonder what the tone was of that question. I wonder if there's a little fear in that question. Jesus, where are you going? We have got to listen to you. We've got to hear you speak. We've got to walk side by side. Where are you going, Jesus? We need you. We need you here desperately. And Jesus tells them, you can't go with me where I'm going at the moment. This starts to unfold. Look at the beginning of chapter 14. I think Jesus knows that his disciples and his apostles are bothered that he's going to be leaving. They feel like they're going to be in the dark. And you know how chapter 14 starts? Jesus tries to comfort them. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is trying to comfort them. He has basically told them, I'm going to leave. And they say, almost don't leave. We need you. Without you, we are in the dark, Jesus. You understand that. And Jesus is trying to comfort them. In chapter 14 and verse 6, that's where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Think about that. Walking, talking with Jesus. Now he says he's going to leave. I think that this was having a major effect on them. Jesus understood that with him leaving, there was going to be a gap. A gap that had to be filled. A gap that really had to be miraculously filled, if you think about it. Because I don't know about you, I forget things all the time. I forget things all the time. They will not be able to remember everything that Jesus taught them. They are going to be in the dark. They need something special, extraordinary, miraculous. And you know what? That's exactly what God is going to give. Go down to chapter 14 and verse 26. Of course, there's so much here in these chapters. But look at chapter 14 and verse 26. Jesus says, I'm leaving. He's trying to comfort them. Look at chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. What a blessing. So Jesus, you're saying that when you leave, there is going to be a Helper that is going to come that is going to help us to not forget anything. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let's read that again. Chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the Helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. What a blessing. Without the Holy Spirit, the apostles would have been in the dark. The disciples would have been in the dark. There would have been a disconnect there that I believe if this was not filled, Christianity would not have thrived, it would not have prospered. It's one thing when you have the leader there, Jesus Christ. It's another thing when your leader goes away. And Jesus says, I'm going away, and they are, I believe, obviously disturbed about this. But Jesus says there will be a Helper. The purpose of the Holy Spirit was to comfort them. I believe that that was going to be accomplished. The Holy Spirit was going to comfort them. And the Holy Spirit was going to help these individuals through this transition period into the New Testament to make sure the ball was not dropped, to make sure that the preaching of Jesus would go into all the world. The idea of peace with God, redemption, forgiveness of sins would be preached everywhere. The only way it happens is with the Holy Spirit. It's unfortunate that so many people take the Holy Spirit and they almost take the Holy Spirit away from the Holy Spirit's primary purpose, to comfort, to support, to inspire these individuals to make sure that the preaching of the gospel would continue. We can certainly look at these chapters and read them verse by verse and certainly to get the full picture. 13, Jesus leaving. 14, he's trying to comfort them. Let's go over to chapter 15 and look at verse 26. Chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus saying, hey, I'm leaving. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, but when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. A Helper is coming. A Comforter is coming. You will not be left in the dark. The Holy Spirit will be able to support you throughout this process so that the gospel can be preached to the whole world. Let's look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. We're trying to focus on this idea of the Holy Spirit coming. Chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is not your advantage that I go... Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now that's pretty powerful. The apostles and disciples are saying, Jesus, please don't leave. We need your teaching. We need your leadership. We need what you have, Jesus. We need your love, compassion, mercy. Jesus, please do not leave. And Jesus says, you don't understand. If I don't leave, the Holy Spirit cannot come. It's actually to your advantage that I leave. Now that's quite the statement. The Son of God says, it's your advantage that I leave. One, he's going to have to die on the cross. That would be a great advantage. Because without that sacrifice, everyone would not have that access to have peace with God and be in a right relationship with God. So number one, he could be in reference to that. It's your advantage that I leave. It's your advantage that I die. It's your advantage so that the Holy Spirit can come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit is going to guide these individuals to make sure that the gospel is preached to the whole world. Think about that idea. It is to your advantage that I leave. Because when I leave, I will send the Helper, the Comforter. Chapter 16, dropping down to verses 12 and 13. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now that's another interesting idea in chapter 16 and verse 12 is that we have Jesus here speaking and he says there's many things that I want to teach you. There's many things that you need to know about. There are many things that you need to grow in, but I can't tell you them now because you're not ready quite yet. You know when you're going to be ready? When I die. When I'm resurrected. That's when you'll be ready, and the Holy Spirit will come, and He will guide you into all truth. Some truth, Kyle, that's not what it says. It says all truth. That these individuals, he's talking to the apostles, these individuals will be inspired, and they will be able to be guided into all truth. They will be able to remember everything. They will have all knowledge that God wants them to have. They will be guided into all truth. Now the question is if we ended up at a point where we had all truth, why do we need current revelation? We don't need current revelation today if they were guided into all truth. And I believe that did happen. That did take place. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Brethren, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you concerning our faith, which was once delivered to all the saints." Once delivered. That idea in Jude chapter 1 verse 3, only one chapter, but Jude 1 3, the idea is the faith that was once delivered to all the saints. It's the same terminology of Jesus being the once and for all sacrifice for all time. Apparently, when we get to Jude, the faith has been delivered once and for all time. And I believe that. And I believe the Bible teaches that. We look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Wait, all things that pertain to life and godliness? What else do we need? We have all that we need. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. I think in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The idea of God breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When the Holy Spirit came and inspired those individuals, there is a period of time where they did not have the Bible. But as those individuals were inspired, we ended up with the Bible, and with that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. That really ties into our adult class. Because the Corinthian church, they were speaking in tongues back then, because the word needed to get out, and the word needed to get out quickly, and there was no time for us to learn another language and to teach it to somebody else, is that the Holy Spirit made sure that the gospel was preached, it was preached efficiently, quickly, and the total truth, and nothing but the truth. When did this process take place? Well, one, Jesus said he had to leave. In Luke chapter 24, I think we get a picture of Jesus leaving. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and following, it says, "And Jesus said to them, these are the words which I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Jesus says, "I'm about to leave. I've died, I've resurrected, it's time for me to leave, and I want the gospel to be preached." Where is it going to start at? Jerusalem. What do we see in Acts chapter 2? In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, inspires those individuals, they speak in tongues. They were not working with gibberish there. They were speaking, and individuals were understanding, which makes sense. If they couldn't understand, then the gospel would not get out to the entire world. These individuals were not speaking gibberish as we read Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit was on a mission. The Holy Spirit was to inspire these individuals that they would have all knowledge, that they would have all remembrance, that they would be able to speak all truth to the world. Without the Holy Spirit, we're in the dark. Without the Holy Spirit, the gospel message does not go out. There are many people in this world that will not speak the words of the Holy Spirit today. They will not speak the words that were preached in Acts chapter 2. They won't preach them. They won't teach them. They'll run away from them. The Holy Spirit inspired these individuals. In Luke chapter 24, he says, "I want remission of sins to be preached." Question to my religious friends and neighbors, what is remission of sins? Get out a dictionary. What is remission of sins? I can tell you it was preached in Jerusalem. And if you want to read what was preached, you can read it. The words of the Holy Spirit from the inspired men in Acts chapter 2. And those individuals were inspired. Those individuals gave us the Bible. And we have, I believe, been guided into all truth. The question is will we follow those words? The Holy Spirit was involved in creation. The Holy Spirit was clearly involved in revelation. And that's why today, if any man is not speaking the oracles of God, what a danger that is. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. What a dangerous thing it is to get away from the words of God, the inspired word of God, the words that came by the Holy Spirit that guided these individuals into all truth. These words are still powerful today. I have observed people read the pages of the Bible and they start crying. I have got to witness individuals read the pages of the Bible and then get incredibly angry. The Word of God is powerful enough to do that which it was designed to do, to cut the heart of men and women. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 it says, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is powerful. And these words that we have did not come from just regular individuals. They were regular individuals, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's what was read for us by Brother Brock, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. In fact, when you look at this book, I don't think you have to look at it too long to realize that men could not even achieve this. I always make the reference to college bookstores. You know, college bookstores, they always have to have a new edition. Well, why do they have to have new editions? Well, one, probably because they're trying to make money. That's probably why they need a new edition. But two, if you look at some of these college textbooks, you pull them off the shelf, the 25th edition, well, one, they got to do it for money, but two, why do you need 25 editions? Because they make mistakes, because things need to be corrected. How many editions do we have in the Bible? The inspired Word of God, this is it. When you look at this, I think it becomes very clear and very evident that this book could not come by just men. There had to be something special. When we look at the historical accuracy of this book, it's something special. When we look at the scientific foreknowledge of this book, it's something special. When we look at the prophecy of this book, it's something special. When we look at the geography that's mentioned in this book, it's special because it's accurate. And you know what I know about men is they make mistakes. They have had thousands of years to come up with mistakes of the Bible. And people do put out mistakes that they think are valid, but they have been proven time and time again to not be valid one bit. The holy, inspired Word of God can be tested. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible welcomes the testing. It says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. I would suggest anyone needs to do that. Test the book. Test the inspired Word of God. Test it and see how it lines up. But what we have because of the Holy Spirit is extraordinary. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, shall come, He shall guide you into all truth. That all truth is here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is referenced in our adult Bible class this morning, it gives a time frame of tongues and miraculous knowledge and miraculous remembrance. Because they have all kinds of things going on at the congregation there at Corinth. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it gives a time frame of these things. They have all these spiritual gifts. And in chapter 13, verses 4 and following, it says, love suffers, I'll go down to verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8, it says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. I believe this is talking about God's Word. Once God's Word has come, once we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, once we have all things that we are thoroughly equipped for every good work, we do not necessarily need tongues and these miraculous things. There's a time frame there. And that's a question to ask individuals. When is that time going to come when there's no longer tongues and when there's no longer these things? The church at Corinth tells them these things will not last forever. These things will not last forever. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. I believe it to be referencing God's inspired Word. God, the Holy Spirit, was involved in creation. The Holy Spirit was involved also in revelation. And it's sad today because many people will say, the Holy Spirit told me this, the Holy Spirit told me that. I can tell you whether the Holy Spirit told you that or not based off God's Word. in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, which maybe you'll hit next week, God's not the author of confusion, which really fits what we were talking about in the adult Bible class, is that if we can't understand it, then there's no point. God is not the author of confusion. He wants us all on the straight and narrow path. He all wants us walking the same direction. And the Holy Spirit has given us the tool which we can do that. But people walk away from God's tool, the inspired Word of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says this. It says, "By this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep the commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You know, even though I don't want to, you know, change God's Word, but you know where God's commandments came from? The Holy Spirit. That's where they came from. What if we just subbed in, instead of commandments in that verse, we subbed in Holy Spirit? By this we know that we know God, if we listen to the Holy Spirit. He who says, "I know God," but does not listen to the Holy Spirit, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. God is not the author of confusion. We can come to a conclusion of what God wants us to do. And the book is right here. The entire Word of God is right here. What a beautiful and wonderful thing that is. You want to know what God thinks about complaining? You can read it. You want to know what God's will, what God's character, what God's mindset is about complaining? You can read it in God's Word. You want to know how God views unfaithfulness? You can read it in God's Word. You want to view how God views marriage? You can read it in God's Word. We are not in the dark. The Holy Spirit has given us such a great blessing. But how many people walk away and say, "Oh yeah, I'm being led by the Holy Spirit"? The Holy Spirit doesn't lead there. You know why? Because God's Word doesn't say that. "Oh, the Holy Spirit led me here." No, the Holy Spirit doesn't lead there. You can read the words of the Holy Spirit. You know something else that the Holy Spirit's involved in is redemption. The Holy Spirit is involved in us being saved. Because without the words of God, we cannot come to a knowledge of how to be saved. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says this. It says, "How that by revelation he may know to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it was now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." You know how we can know about Jesus? Because of the Word. You know how we can know how to be saved? Because of the Word. How can we know it any other way? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13, the Bible says this. I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." You know how we can know about salvation? Because of the Holy Spirit. You know how we can know how to be saved? Because of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we need to think about what the Holy Spirit has really given us. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul." Wait, God's Word is able to save my soul? Yes, it can. It can tell you about Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, and how to become a New Testament Christian. "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul." What a beautiful thing the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit was involved in creation. The Holy Spirit was involved in revelation. The Holy Spirit was involved in redemption. And how many people run away from what the Holy Spirit actually says? The Spirit isn't telling you that if it's not in this book. God is not the author of confusion. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We pray that you would do what the Spirit inspired those men on Pentecost Day, told those individuals to do, to be baptized for remission of sins. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. If you have any questions, we'd love to help you anyway. Become as we stand, as we sing.